Welcome to Grow Your Influence, leadership conversations for business owners and managers. Whether you own a business and have a team, or leadership is part of your role, welcome, you're exactly where you need to be. Join co-hosts Juliette Robinson and Christy Lee Billett for their regular conversations on all things leadership. No corporate jargon, no textbook ideologies, just real life experience unpacked in a relaxed way to help you be your best boss and lead your team with confidence, clarity, and control. This is Grow Your Influence. Let's dive in.
Christy Lee, how are you going?
Hey, Juliette, great to see you today.
You too. And I'm really looking forward to this conversation because this, I think, is somewhere where you have heaps of experience. And I know that it's the season for performance reviews. So I'm sure you're seeing a lot come across your desk in terms of how this works. And I really want to talk about how can we do this better? So, yes, let's pick your brains.
Yeah, performance reviews are something that I do spend a lot of time implementing for my clients and helping them manage and run. And, you know, I think we could all remember experiences from our early careers and some pretty horrendous performance reviews where once a year we get dragged into the office and we have to do this detailed discussion. And I just think there are better ways to do it. And I think as well at the moment we're in an environment where there's a lot of pressure on wages. We've got a lot of employees wanting pay rises, maybe expecting pay rises. And we've spoken on the podcast before about navigating that when the funds aren't there. So I think importantly, it's about separating those two discussions and reviewing performance objectively based on KPIs and our position descriptions and not having a discussion that is basically where your employee is just there making their case for a pay rise.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's start with frequency, because as you say, the performance review used to be an annual hideous event that everybody sort of dreaded and put off as long as possible until it actually had to happen. But I certainly talk with leaders now about having these much more regularly. What's your recommendation for how regularly you should be doing these?
Yeah, I definitely think it should be more than annual. And I think it depends on the business and the type of role. So I think if it's the type of role that is very repetitive, where day in, day out, nothing really changes and there's not huge pressure targets, then less often is okay. And at least once a year, but certainly 6 monthly. Yeah. But if you're in a much more dynamic role and workplace, which most of the workplaces I work with probably are,
yeah,
I like quarterly or 3 times a year.
Yeah.
And you've got to be able to manage the cadence of that as the leader. So it might depend how many people you've got reporting to you and all of those things. But I would say that whatever cadence you decide on, make sure you can stick to it. So if you are going to go for quarterly, you must be able to deliver quarterly. So because nothing frustrates employees more than us not doing what we say we're going to do. So I think it can work in any of those cadences, but if you've got a really dynamic and fast-paced and ever-changing workplace, then I think quarterly works.
I think it's such a good point. I've seen a number of teams now where they say, yes, they were supposed to be quarterly performance reviews, and they just didn't happen.
Yeah.
And so suddenly it becomes half-yearly just because we missed the last quarterly one.
Yeah.
So already it's a broken promise before you get in the room.
Exactly. So you, if it's not going to happen or you're concerned about it, start with 6 monthly or start with 3 times a year and have it booked in the diaries. And of course, then there's the difference between do we want to do set times of the year for performance reviews and have like seasons for them, or are we doing these on anniversary markers? And, you know, both of those options are fine, but just pick what works for you and stick to it.
So tell me, it's been a while since I had to do my own performance reviews. The process of getting people to self-review, comparing your review as the leader with their review, is that still something that you recommend to clients?
Yes, to a degree, I think that's still important because for a few reasons. One, we're employing people to do a position in our business. And so we do want to assess how they're performing that position, which does require our assessment. But obviously, self-assessment, I think, still is valuable. And the reason I've always felt self-assessment was valuable is it gives us an indication how much self-awareness our employees have. You always get those people that come into the review with 5 out of 5 on every element of their role where you think they're struggling. Or it conversely, you've got people on your team who are lacking in confidence and they may come in really, rating themselves low. That's a problem because if they're lacking that confidence, they're not showing up as confidently and with as much impact as they could at work. So it's not so much about what their assessment is they're giving themselves. It's more indicating how they're feeling that that can be helpful as well.
It's really interesting you say that because I agree. And I remember when I was running the last team I had, those gaps would also flag for me that I probably wasn't giving them enough feedback one way or
Exactly.
another.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it helped me understand what was going on between us too.
Yes, because sometimes as leaders, we know someone's doing a great job and we assume they know they're doing a great job too. But as you said, it sort of points out where we've got a gap there. It can also point out some training needs that we have potentially missed, maybe because things have moved ahead and we haven't upskilled this person, or maybe they're just struggling with a particular area of their role and they need some extra support. So it can really inform those training needs. And sometimes we don't see everything as well. So our assessment of things is not the only viewpoint. There may be a case that they can bring to us that we've just totally missed a particular achievement. But I do think the assessment is important because fundamentally, what the performance review does is tell someone how they're tracking in their role and what the future holds for them. And it's still a critical piece of the puzzle. I don't think it's the only piece of the puzzle, but it is, for me, I still think it's important. I've worked with businesses that just wanted this sort of traffic light system put into place where they could plug some numbers into a system and it would just give them a green light if someone was doing well without really any discussion or evaluation. And I don't think that's the right approach.
No, well, to me, the discussion is a key part of it.
Yes.
Really, that is really the review part. I agree with you. A traffic light system might work well for a leader who doesn't really want to have the conversations, but it doesn't really work for the team members
Not at all.
who are looking for some input and some feedback, and it may be the only feedback they're getting.
That's right. Because for some businesses, that is the case. This is the only time they have these conversations. And I don't think either you or I would advocate for that, but
No,
it's the
no.
reality in some places.
Okay. So what are your recommendations around these? Beyond so setting a time and as you say, a cadence that you can manage within the actual performance review, are there key things that you would say have to be there?
Yeah, I think, and again, I think this can change. I think performance reviews are one of those great tools that you get to tailor your business. So this is not a one size fits all approach. So I definitely think that review of the performance, and when you're doing these reviews more regularly, it actually makes your job a whole lot easier because if you're only doing quarterly reviews, you've only got to remember what happened in the last 3 months or keep track of what happened in the last 3 months. You're not casting your mind back to 11 and a half months ago to assess performance because none of us can remember. It just, the world works too fast these days. So I'm looking backwards to an extent at what's that last period of time looks like. Have we achieved the goals we set out to? Have we performed? But more importantly, let's look forward. Let's look at what we can achieve in the future. What is the potential for this employee? So that might mean some coaching. It might mean talking to them about what you would like to see. I'm talking to team members about what does success look like for them in this next period. So some backwards looking, assessing what has happened, where the gaps are, what we want to improve, what's gone well, and then some forward looking in terms of what do we want to achieve next. And for some businesses, this looks like setting KPIs for that next period of time, some, really tangible goals and objectives. And if you've got team members that are hungry to progress, putting those milestones and KPIs in place is really beneficial for them. So some backwards looking, some forwards looking, some KPIs, but also talking to them about their future. What's important to them personally? How can you align whatever they're doing at work to that? This is an opportunity to talk about what the future looks like for them. Maybe they're planning on going on a 6-month holiday next year and you've got no clue until you have this discussion with them. Also, training. This is a great opportunity to talk about training, where they feel they need to be upskilled, what that's going to look like, and maybe about the team as well, what's working, what's not working. So it's an opportunity for you to get a lot of information about what's happening in your team.
It's really interesting you say that because I know both you and I talk with clients about having regular feedback conversations. And, ideally, you'd love that to be all the time. And that positive feedback when people are doing the right thing, some constructive feedback to change behavior or performance when they're not. So you'd hope you come to these reviews, these performance reviews, having had lots of conversations already. But I totally get that lots of people don't.
No, but I also think nothing should be a surprise to an employee at a review, particularly if it's, constructive or negative feedback. They should not be hearing about that for the first time in this review.
Yeah,
So,
totally.
yeah.
And I look, honestly, I would say too, as a leader, if they're telling you they're thinking about a 6 month break or they want some training and that's a surprise to you, then I would say you're not having enough conversations with your team.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We talk about there's plenty of meetings go on often with teams that are all about the work we do, but that perhaps means we're not having enough just informal catch-ups.
That's right. Yeah. And I think for different team members, these conversations are very different. Some team members find performance reviews quite daunting because they're being assessed and that terrifies them. I know I work with other teams where some of their team members are just more introverted, more reserved, more structured in how they work. So they very much come prepared because they see this as an opportunity to make their case for promotion or discuss their future. And so they come very prepared to these meetings. So it's going to be slightly different depending on your team. And look, there are definitely different ways to do these reviews. I've got clients that really want to implement 360 degree reviews, which is where you're asking people from all levels of the organization for feedback. I think it really depends on the size of your business, whether some of those bigger corporate structures really work. I'm not a fan of them in small businesses, and I think you've got to have quite a number of staff. I would probably say close to 100 before those kind of systems and structures really have value, because otherwise everyone knows where the feedback's come from.
Well, I think that's right. Because it's coming from all around, from each level, you're only going to have a limited number at each level. So people know exactly. In fact, I was talking with someone the other day who said they had just done 360, but because there were so few people involved in it, they knew exactly who'd given what feedback. And I think that doesn't build trust in a
It, no,
team.
and it creates tension, which is really problematic. So, I don't think they're the right structure, unless you've got, a bigger business. And even then, it's about finding the right structure for that business. But I think most importantly, it's about doing the reviews, and it's about doing reviews in a way that works for you and your business and your team.
And I think that's a really good point because I think when we think about performance reviews, often they seem overwhelming. The idea we've got to talk to everyone, we've got to have a plan, we've got to take time for these conversations. So finding a way to do them that doesn't feel overwhelming, I think, is really important. You don't have to have incredibly long conversations and huge assessments.
No.
You can make it simple, but still really effective.
Absolutely. And I think when you're doing them more regularly, the meeting should be shorter. You shouldn't be spending 2 hours in a review discussion every quarter.
Yes, absolutely. And you can, as you say, put some structure around them that make it easy for people to come really prepared if that's who they are.
Yeah, exactly. Having a consistent document is a really simple way to do it, that they can just
Absolutely.
put as much or as little detail in as they want. But some of your team are going to want to come with discussion points or with notes so that they feel like they've said whatever they need to say. And others will turn up with nothing, and that's totally fine. But having some consistent documentation in place, and please, like every workplace discussion, document your reviews and keep them.
Yes, oh, absolutely. And the easiest way to do that is in the meeting itself.
Of course,
Just write
yes.
notes as you're going, because you know you might think you're going to do it afterwards,
Yes.
and you're probably not.
No, and you'll forget what you said. Well, I forget what I say.
Can I just drill down into when we're talking about performance reviews, do you include performance and behaviours
Yes.
in
Yes, that's a
those?
great question. I absolutely include performance and behaviors. And I think this comes back to making sure behaviors are written up somewhere, in a position description, in a code of conduct, in your values. So for some of the teams I work with, we do this by including the values in the review process. And for different positions in that organization, how they will show up in those values is very different, because what we expect from a junior team member in one value is very different, obviously, to what we expect from a senior team member. So sometimes we'll put some specifics against those. So one of the values might be, connecting people. And for a junior team member, that might be about connecting with their peers really proactively, where for a senior team member, it's about being an industry lead and being really well respected. So we can bake them in that way. Or if you've got particular behaviors that are in your position descriptions, assessing those. But really important to definitely be assessing how we are and how we show up at work, not just the technical work that we do.
Yes, brilliant. Yeah. And again, I think that's something that can get lost.
Yes.
We
Yeah. And
focus
then
just on what's happening, not on how it's happening.
that becomes a problem when you've got an employee who isn't behaving appropriately at work, and you want to be able to manage that issue, but all the data they have tells them they're doing a great job.
Exactly. Yes. And that's all the data we have set up
Yes.
for how we assess performance. So,
Yes.
yes. Great. Okay. Oh, I don't think anybody really looks forward to them, do they?
No, I don't think so. I think managers really struggle to find the time for them and sometimes find them confronting, like not everyone loves delivering them. And team members always feel anxious because no one likes to be assessed. So, but they are really valuable. And certainly the teams I've worked with have seen huge improvements when they implement the reviews, because people suddenly have a vision of what's next for them, and maybe some goals, and they're getting a say in what the next step looks like. So they actually engage in their roles and the business a lot more if you get these in place, and that's great for productivity and ultimately profitability.
Yeah, fantastic. And I think that's it, isn't it? That sense that your boss is interested in what you're doing and where you're going and wants you to be part of that process is incredibly motivating for most people.
Absolutely. People want to come to work and do good work. It is human nature. So if we're not giving them a structure by which we're saying, yes, you are doing good work, what other good work would you like to do? Or here's some other areas that we can develop for you, then you're actually doing them a disservice.
Absolutely. Chrissy Lee, thank you so much. Brilliant advice in
Good
there.
topic to chat about today.
It is, absolutely. And I'm sure there is people out there still thinking about the next performance, the review they need to do, how to set it up. So hopefully some of those things that you've talked about will help with the next iteration of that.
Absolutely. And if you've got a creative way that you do reviews, or you want to share with us your review experience, just come and find us on the socials. The Grow Your Influence podcast is where you'll find us. And leave us a comment. We'd love to hear from you in terms of how you approach reviews in your business.
Absolutely. And if this has been valuable or you've enjoyed the conversation, we'd love a review wherever you listen to your podcast. And feel free to share it with people who you think might also benefit from it.
Absolutely. We would love that.
Yes. Thanks so much, Christy Lee. See you soon.
Thanks, Juliet. Thanks for joining us on this episode. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave us a rating, comment, and review wherever you listen to your podcast. And don't forget to recommend us to a friend. We also love hearing suggestions for topics or guest speakers that you would love to hear from. The best way to reach us to give us those suggestions is over on our Facebook page. Simply head to Facebook and search Grow Your Influence. See you there.